sneak, Rodney's story, everything's under control, situation normal, and Cheetos in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag, parts 26, 27, 28, and 29 of the Afarman Iowaverse by Shea Frotherden. Stargate Atlantis stories, ratings general through teen. Pairing, Rodney McKay, John Shepard. Read by Library Chick, 94. Sneak. John Shepard is a sneak. A world-class sneaky, sneaking, sneakiest, sneaky thing. A man might leave him in bed, lazily reading a back issue of National Geographic. And why the hell do they have back issues of National Geographic in their house? Did John Shepard steal it from the doctor's office? The dentist's? Is this one of those projects where Ada Gunderson thinks everyone needs their horizons broadened and starts leaving People Magazine and Everyday Vegan dishes on the porch, as if the fact that it's People Magazine and Everyday Vegan doesn't give away her dastardly culpability? And the next said man might be brushing his teeth with a towel tucked around his waist, humming a very passable version of California Dreaming, thank you very much, and realize John Shepard is leaning against the bathroom doorway in a pair of boxers that suggest a trip to Target for some underwear that isn't see-through from repeated washings might be in order. And John Shepard would have sneaked there. John Shepard might then, as he's doing this morning, lollygag his way across the bathroom tile and press a warm bare chest against the back of the man with the toothbrush in his mouth, in a sneaky fashion, you understand. That would leave the toothbrushing sort in this scenario completely unmanned, and then drag a fingertip up the line of hair emerging from beneath the toothbrusher's towel, tracing it up towards his navel. At which point, the toothbrusher might get a little distracted and drool a little toothpaste, all while John Shepard murmurs, "Just learned this is your pubic extension." Pubic extension is utter bastard dirty talk, the kind that can make a man glazed-eyed and gurgling, and the drag of blunt nails toward that towel can never help matters much. Men previously known to be brushing their teeth might find their toothbrush clattering to the basin, and their towel getting tugged from their hips by John Shepard's sneaky fingers. And if a man found himself leaning back into John Shepard's body heat, mumbling something incomprehensible as John Shepard's hand does something slick and twisty and sneaky to the newly attentive parts of a man's shower-damp body, well, said man probably had a point once upon a time, but it's sneakily gone into hiding, because John Shepard's giving him a hand job right in front of the mirror, and or something. Sneaky, sneakable, sneakiest sneak. The end. Rodney's story. "Do you put out the duck, Heenan?" Rodney asks, poking his head around the bathroom door. He's brushing his teeth, and it takes John a minute to take the vowels and consonants he's being offered and reassemble them into an intelligent sentence. It takes longer yet for him to come up with a reply. "No?" he yawns. Rodney snorts softly and goes back to his dental ministrations, mumbling things John's pretty sure he's not supposed to understand this time around. He doesn't care. Their bed's warm and soft, and it's like someone's poured him into the benevolent space his body occupies, cushioned by a feather bed beneath and a newly shaken comforter above. He's hovering somewhere between wakefulness and insensibility, content to pay minimal attention as his thoughts drift about. His mind, he realizes, is some marvelous pinball machine. His thoughts a silver ball, and wow, that's cool. Mental pinball, and pinball's cool, and he should figure out what the levers mean. Rodney switches off the bathroom light and shuffles across the room. When he slides into bed, he smells minty and clean, skin flush from being scrubbed by a washcloth, and his hair sticking straight up at the front, casualty of his regular vigor with a towel. "Mph," Rodney says, sprawling recklessly, one hand thumping down next to John's nose. John leans forward just enough to nudge at Rodney's thumb. "Hi. This is nice. John studies Rodney for a moment. The long slope of his nose and the shimmer of light caught upon his eyelashes. His cheeks are pink and his jaw dark with stubble. This close, John could see the idea of Rodney's laugh lines, happily taking up residence in the skin beside his eyes, and the lobe of his ears just begging to be touched. So John does, gently, one finger tracing the curve. "Stop it," Rodney says, batting at his hand. "Or?" Rodney turns onto his side, so they're lying face to face. "Or we'll never get to sleep and I'll turn into a gremlin." "I thought that was if you ate after midnight," John ponders drowsily. "That too." Rodney yawns and he blinks slowly, watching John. John likes watching Rodney, likes the fact that it's taken him 4 decades, but he's finally comfortable with meeting the eye of someone who's not a CO. Rodney's fascinating, full of ideas and stories and material for a CIA file, and it's ridiculous, completely ridiculous, but John suspects he's never going to run out of things to ask him. Big things and little things like, "Have you ever eaten olives off your fingers?" and "How many guys were you with before me?" John's expecting a number, but instead there's a pause. Rodney doesn't freeze. There's nothing sharp about the way he stills and holds his breath, or the way his eyes widen for a second before his mouth firms into an unhappy line. He simply rolls onto his back and pulls the comforter up higher. John frowns. Okay, that's weird. It's just, you know, I was wondering. Yes, I see, Rodney offers, voice polite and distant. I'm not judging, John clarifies. I mean, I wouldn't. Rodney rubs the comforter between the fingers of one hand. He's staring at the ceiling. Okay. Rodney. It's just... Rodney swallows. John can see the bob of his Adam's apple. There haven't been. There's... I... Just you is the thing, he finishes quietly and starts chewing on his lip. That can't be right. Huh? You. Me? John's too tired to understand this. Something he probably should have thought about before setting his mouth to autopilot, he thinks. Just me? Rodney nods slightly. John turns this over very slowly. He has the creeping sense there's an important thing happening between them, and he didn't mean to launch into anything important. You. Realization hits, and he raises both eyebrows, struggles a second to find breath enough to say things out loud. Shit, when you left that morning? Rodney tenses further. I made it right, he says, sounding uncertain, sitting. I did. I made it right. Yeah, John says. Obviously, they're in bed together. But it's like Rodney's body or mind or both hasn't gotten the message, because he's restless and unhappy, and he's all but shredding the comforter between his hands. I just... John pushes himself up on one elbow. I just mean you weren't. He stares at Rodney. I thought you were fucking with me. I wasn't. I get that now. And while he had no idea that that was still a sore spot, but suddenly there's relief where an ache used to be. I was... freaking out, John says aloud. Yes. Because I was the first guy you slept with. Jesus, Rodney. Well, you are a surprise, Rodney says defensively. What on earth should I have expected to have in common with a... He flings a hand around. Farmer with a... farm! John sits up. New things are occurring to him so fast he's getting dizzy. And you kissed me first. Yes, yes, I'm well aware that I... Rodney blows out a long, unsteady breath. I can be brave sometimes, you know. John winces. You were freaking out. God. I didn't lie to you. I never said you did. I really did wake up here that morning and... Rodney pales. Oh, God, it was right here. He slides out of bed and stares at the spot where he's been sleeping for years. It was right here. I woke up and I looked at you and you were sleeping and... John extends a steadying hand. Rodney. No, it's important. You were sleeping and you don't understand. You've never seen yourself asleep. You look young and happy and... Rodney's mouth twists. Beautiful. Beautiful, and let's not forget this part. You were blissed out and gay, and I was working on the supposition that I was straight until you wooed me with music and math problems. John lets his hand drop as he squints at him. I'm pretty sure you're the one who sent the homework. And you know what that made me, Rodney says, and his expression is suddenly so fragile. John wants to tell him it's okay, don't say it, whatever it is. Stupid. It made me stupid to never have understood why things were so difficult with women, why they were so unattainable, why they could never sustain my interest, why it was nice to have sex with them, but really no more satisfying than my goddamn hand. Stupid. I was just... He lets out a sudden breath and sits heavily on the edge of the bed, head hanging, his back to John. John pushes back the comforter and shuffles across the bed on his knees, kisses the nape of Rodney's neck. Not stupid, he whispers, settling his hands on Rodney's shoulders. I was terrified, Rodney mumbled, because I think I was the happiest I'd ever been that night with you, and that was all wrong. Wrong? I was supposed to... My work. All my fabulous equations. Rodney's gesture manages to be sarcastic. I wasn't supposed to need people or, you know, things. He sighs and rubs a hand over his face. I was going to be brilliant and famous and so smart other people would weep into their Fruit Loops because they weren't me. That was safe and secure and satisfying and entirely under my control, and then you happened and I was just... dumb. John rubs his nose over the bump at the top of Rodney's spine. No. So I left. Rodney lets John pull him back against his chest, sags against him. There's strange new heat where their skin touches. And it ended up the only thing more terrifying than waking up beside you and realizing my brain was 100% faulty where important things were concerned was confronting the fact that I'd probably never see you again. Jesus, that's enough, John says, pulling him backward. Enough. Come here. And he's tugging and pushing and rearranging their bodies until Rodney's pressed all along the length of his side, face tucked against his neck. You're not stupid. You never were. I made it right. The words sound plaintive. Yeah, you did. John scratches Rodney's scalp with his blunt-cut fingernails. I came back. John nods. Even though you were probably figuring I'd hit you. You almost did. I did not. Rodney inches his hand to rest on John's belly. You made your hand into a fist. John doesn't remember that, but has to admit that it sounds like something he'd do. Sorry. No, you had every right. Would you just... John turns his face to the top of Rodney's head, kisses his hair once, twice, three times. We're okay. We're happy. Rodney shudders once against him. I don't like thinking about it much. His voice is small, and it sounds as if it's hard for him to get the words out. John keeps on stroking his fingers through his hair. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have... I wasn't thinking. It's okay. You're a little freakish. Yeah. I still love you. John can feel one corner of Rodney's mouth lift into a weak smile. You just volunteered that you... Hey. John pokes him in the side with his free hand. I say that plenty. Rodney snorts and slides his arm all the way around John's torso, squeezes tight. Okay. I totally... Rodney rubs his face against John's shoulder. I know, he sighs. Sorry. John runs his fingers up and down the arm Rodney's thrown over his chest. You know, he murmurs into Rodney's hair. That was really fucking impressive first-time gayness. Rodney smacks him. Shut up! No, I'm serious, you were... Well, it's not as though cocks are completely unfamiliar territory. Still, I mean... And running against something to get off is hardly rocket science. John smirks. Aw, shucks. Rodney huffs. If it helps, you are a very nice thing to run against. I feel all kinds of manly. Good. Rodney shivers. God, can we agree to never, ever talk about this again? Okay. Because... John tugs the comforter up higher over them both. I said okay. I just... We're not talking about it. Still, I... Ever. There's... Starting now. Rodney subsides, hooking an ankle over John's. Okay, he concedes, and he sounds exhausted, as if he's just come home after two consecutive nights spent worrying over his experiments in the lab to find Finn's painted himself green and John's caught scarlet fever. Sleep, John whispers, thumb rubbing reassurance into the skin at the top of Rodney's spine. Talk to me, Rodney murmurs. What about? Just... Rodney shifts as though getting more comfortable, then goes slack against him, humming softly beneath John's touch. Anything. John feels his heart pinch at the idea of Rodney leaning into the sound of his voice, resting there as if there's security in whatever he says. I'm glad you came back, he whispers softly. It's a beginning, and one with 100 stories gathered behind it. Tales brought to Iowa in packing boxes stowed in a truck, fables he can spin from a downdraft marshaled into flight, neighborhood parables stacked like blocks, the narrative thread of their son's life spilling like unthought-of poetry into the cracks between their floorboards. I love you, John murmurs, once he's sure Rodney's asleep. It isn't happily ever after, but there's a radiance in its flaws. The end. Everything's under control, situation normal. John has no idea exactly what Rodney's costume will be, right up until the moments before they leave for trick-or-treating. Some kind of Star Wars connection is a given. Let no one suggest they're a family who doesn't know how to theme. Mary's sitting on the living room floor, smashing blocks into one another, wearing a white onesie, baby cords, and a hoodie he ordered online, along with a brown fleece hat, onto which John's glued big curled-up braids of chocolate-colored wool. John likes to think she's Leia chic. Finn's lurking somewhere, probably the pantry, where he's convinced they're already hiding Christmas presents. Dressed head-to-toe is the best 4-foot-high Vader John's ever seen, and if he's had to put up with Finn practicing his Darth breathing for 6.5 days, since Rodney suggested they all watch episode 4 for research purposes, he has no doubt it'll be worth it when the kid whacks Ronan in the crotch with his plastic lightsaber of doom. Rodney! John yells up toward the bedroom, where Rodney's doing God knows what with who knows what results. Come on already! Yes, yes, Rodney shouts back. You can't hurry genius, flyboy! John rolls his eyes, hitches the holster slung around his hips till it settles in a more comfortable position. He's pretty damn pleased with his own costume. He's been trying to act like Han Solo for more than 30 years. He'll take his wish fulfillment where he can get it. None of this would be taken so long if you just agreed to be Luke. 1, Rodney offers an objection. Luke's a pansy. 2, I look bad in white. 3, he's a pansy. He saves the galaxy. And he's a pansy while he does it, Rodney yells back. There's a shuffle of footsteps from above. I'm coming down, shut up. Finn comes tearing in from the kitchen, a suspicious trail of Cheeto crumbs down his costume, and his lips stained the orange of the Dark Force. Ready, ready, now, come on, he says, and whoops as Rodney comes downstairs, Obi-Wan Kenobi cloak billowing behind him. Nice beard, says John, reaching out to touch the fake whiskers Rodney's attached to his face somehow. Santa suit, Rodney says smugly, stroking his mustache. I clipped it a bit. Ah, fuck, Mary says from behind them, cackling wildly, her hat having slipped down toward her left shoulder, giving her the appearance of a slightly deranged bear cub. Rodney huffs and bristles over to her, picking her up. She squeals delightedly at the rush of speed and motion, and John can't help but smirk at how she's so his gene carrier, and mutters, I really am your only hope, aren't I, as he straightens her woolen fleece hair. Luke, Finn yells, hands above his head, lightsaber threatening to take out John's eye. I am your father! Good job, buddy, John says, patting him on the shoulder. Remember, we're only saying that to the kids in karate costumes, yeah? Come to the dark side! Okay, you can say that to anyone, Rodney offers, somewhat distracted as he tries to avoid having his beard pulled off his face by his daughter's inquisitive hands. Especially Laura, except she's already there. John smothers a grin. How about we try and make the Kessel run in less than 12 parsecs, he suggests. Where's Kessel? Finn asks, tipping back his helmet to stare at John. Really close to the courthouse, John improvises, over by the tackle shop. Leaving now, Rodney says, sweeping toward the back door. Grab the pillowcases! Luke! Finn yells as he runs after him. I am your Luke! Luke! It's a good word! Luke! John tries to stop himself, but he's pretty much a lost cause. I've got a bad feeling about this, he says gleefully, and snorts happily as he locks the back door. They wrangle the kids into their car seats, remember the flashlights at the last minute, and pause to gather their wits for just a moment when Mary joins in Finn's yelling with all the grace and tunefulness of a tauntaun on speed. At least you're a Jedi, John says, as he closes the back door of the car without crushing Finn's lightsaber, proof of his Han Solo reflexes. I kind of like it when you brandish your... Rodney splutters a little as he clambers into the driver's seat, carefully attending to the arrangement of his robes. Is there any wonder they only let your character fly spaceships? He asks as John slides into the passenger seat beside him. I'm not sure you have the requisite intellectual ability to... John smirks. Can I feel the force later? Rodney turns the key in the ignition. Midichlorians help me. Is that a lightsaber in your pocket, or... Rodney makes a small sound and turns in his seat, and for a second, John's not sure if he's going to punch him or kiss him. Happily, it's the latter. Nice rebellion you got going, John murmurs against Rodney's lips. Now you want to drive this bucket of bolts, or... Luke, Finn says, I am your... Hey, can we get candy now? Good idea, John says, slouching in his seat and snickering, as Rodney Meredith Kenobi forgets which way to move the gear shift for reverse. Oh, ma, Mary says helpfully. Something about roadworks near Mos Eisley and watching out for people walking single file. These aren't the droids you're looking for, Rodney tells her firmly, and John can't help but reach over to lay a hand on his thigh as they pull out into the county road. The end. Cheetos in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. The summer before Finn turns 4, Jed Colton wins the contract for mowing the I-80 median between exits 237 and 306, and John... Oh, hell, I swear, Rodney, this is so great, you're not going to believe this... gets hired to drive a sickle mower loaded tractor up and down the interstate, cutting down prairie grass and brown-eyed Susans a couple of feet beyond the shoulder. You're going to mow grass? Rodney asks, blinking several times in the hope it'll speed up his mental processes. John's bouncing on the balls of his feet, halfway between the porch and the garage, the day's mail tucked beneath his arm. It's not mowing, he says, waving the envelope Jed sent him. I mean, sure, it's mowing, but it's... He shrugs and pulls a face, perhaps trying to knock some words loose. The tractors have lights. Big orange lights, and... He makes an indiscriminate noise of glee, and bounds up the porch steps, kisses Rodney hard and fast. Rodney sets his coffee cup down on the porch rail, lest there be more kissing and unfortunate spills. Lights, he repeats, plucking the letter out of John's hand, skimming the contents. They're so cool, John says, and he's all but shaking with it. They flash, and the horsepower's phenomenal, and... You go what, 16 miles per hour, Rodney asks? Yeah. John grins at him like he just hit on the secret of life. Exactly. Rodney stares at him in wonder, this long, disheveled, dusty specimen of midlife manhood who shares his bed and steals his bacon right off his plate and dangles their son by his ankles while talking about their savings account and wants to drive a tractor all summer. Okay, he says, huffing a breath of laughter. Okay. And John kisses him again, fingers sliding up underneath Rodney's shirt to scratch confusing affection against his back. Finn seems to grasp the coolness of the mowing far more quickly and readily than Rodney can. He peppers John with questions and asks when he can ride in the tractor, and somehow everything ends up with John assuring Rodney that he will never, ever let Finn run in front of a combine during harvest season, and sure he'll fetch him a beer. But on John's first day, it's Rodney who gets up when John does, who pads downstairs while John's in the shower, and brews them both coffee, makes John a stack of PB&J sandwiches, and stuffs Cheetos into a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. You didn't have to do that, John says, fresh scrubbed and damp around the edges, when he comes into the kitchen, stubble still dark against his jaw. Rodney humps and kisses him clumsily, just below his ear, mumbles, "Big day. Tractors. With lights." And John chuckles warmly, nips at his mouth, says, "I'll be back by 3. And he's gone, out into the dark. It's sooner than that when Rodney sees him, just beyond the West Branch on-ramp, eastbound as Rodney's West. He's singing in his cab. Rodney recognizes the tilt of his body, the open-mouthed abandon with which he croaks along to Johnny Cash when he knows no one else is listening. And his sleeves are rolled up, his tractor listing gently into the angle of the ditch, the air thick with sweet grass and clover because of his work. He still smells of both when Rodney gets home that afternoon, finds him wrangling canes around infant tomato plants, fin rooted in the new-tilled earth, making mud pies with dirt and spit and the dribbles from a hose. "Jesus, I..." Rodney blurts, suddenly so fond of their big dumb life and their 80 acres of nowhere, and the satisfaction etched into John's frame from a morning spent mowing grass, that he can't finish the sentence, can only gesture helplessly and slide a hand into John's back pocket when John wanders over, grinning right into his face.
"You figure out dark matter today?" John asks.
"Oh, you know," Rodney says, and shoves John in front of him out of self-defense when Finn tries to spray him with the hose. The end.